Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Asatutsa Sarashi Shimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai
Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai. Nama Chaya Salaharidas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsa Kamsi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Vaishnavindi Ki Jai. Sisi Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Nuramanriti Ki Jai. Samavati Bhakti Vindi Ki Jai. Gopremanandi. All gloriously assembled devotees. All gloriously assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sisi Guru and Gauranga. All glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayat. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 10, Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, texts 9 and 10. Subhadra Draupadi Kunti. Virata Tanayatata Gandhari Dhritarashtrascha Yuyutsur Gautamau Mayamo Reko Dharascha Domascha Shriyo Matsya Sutadaya Nasa Hire Vimuhyanto. Viraham Sangadhanava. Up at the top. Subhadra Draupadi Kunti. Virata Tanaya Tatha. Gandhari Dhritarashtrascha Yuyutsur Gautamo Yamo Vrikodarascha Domyascha Shriyo Matsya Sudhadaya Nasahire Vamhuyanto Viraham Sangadhanava. Virata Tanayatata Gandhari Dhritarashtrascha Yuyutsur Gautamo Yamo Rikodarascha Domyascha Shriyo Matsya Sudadaya Nasarire Vamuyanto Vyaraham Sangadanava Subhadra Draupadi Kunti Virata Tanayatata Vandari Ditarastascha Yuyutsur Gautama Yamo Vrikodarastha Domyascha Striyo Matsya Sutadaya There's two more. Nasahire Vimuyanto Vyaraham Sangadanava Subhadra Draupadi Kunti Virata Tanayatata Gandhari Vitrastascha Yuyutsur Gautamo Yamo Rikodarascha Domyascha Shriyo Matsya Sudadaya Subhadra, the sister of Krishna, Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas, Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, Viratatanaya, the daughter of Virata, Uttara. Tata, also, Gandhari, the mother of Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, the father of Duryodhana, Cha, and Yuyutsu, the son of Dhritarashtra by his Vaishya wife, Gautama, Kripacharya, Yama, the twin brothers Nakula and Sahadev. Vrikodara, Bhima, Cha, and Domya, Domya, Cha, and Striya, also other ladies of the palace. Matsyasuta Adaya, the daughter of a fisherman, Satyavati, Bhishma's stepmother. Na, could not. Sahire, tolerate. Vimhuyanta, almost fainting. Viraham, separation. Sangadhanava, of Sri Krishna, who bears a conch in his hand. Translation. Anyway, different edited versions. At that time, Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Yuyutsu, Kripacharya, Nakula, Sahadev, Bhimasena, Domya, and Satyavati all nearly fainted because it was impossible for them to bear separation from Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna is so attractive for the living beings, especially for the devotees, that it is impossible for them to tolerate separation. The conditioned soul, under the spell of illusory energy, forgets the Lord. Otherwise, he cannot. The feelings of such separation cannot be described, but it can simply be imagined by the devotees only. After his separation from Vrindavan and the innocent rural cowherd boys, girls, ladies, and others, they all felt shock throughout their entire lives. And the separation of Radharani, the most beloved cowherd girl, is beyond expression. Once they met at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse, and the feelings which expressed by them is heartrending. There is, of course, a difference between the qualities of the transcendental devotees of the Lord, but none of them who have ever contacted the Lord by direct communion or otherwise can leave him for a moment. That is the attitude of the pure devotee. Om Agyane Timirandasya Agyanandana Sarakaya Chachurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Garave Namaha. So this entire chapter, Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, is describing the events after the Battle of Kurukshetra, after the prayers of Queen Kunti, after Bhishma Dev's speaking with Yudhisthira. Now it's finally time for Krishna to leave, and the whole chapter is dedicated to the events leading up to and including his actual departure from the city. In this particular verse, we hear the names of many different well-known characters, well-known people, well-known devotees. And each of them has specific feelings of separation from the Lord according to their own sojourn and relationship with him. Sometimes when we hear lists, everybody kind of merges into one because it's a list of somebody that's doing something similar. But actually each one of them has their own individual relationship and feelings of separation different than everybody else on the list, because they're all individually related with Krishna. Similarly, every living entity has a unique relationship with the Lord. In our society, we have two distinct groups. One group is the devotees who have the fortune of knowing about Krishna because they're brought up in a culture where his pastimes and activities are narrated. So they know all the different activities from the time they're young. And these names are very familiar to them from the time they're young. Then there's the other group of people that have never heard of these people, but then they come in contact with them. I remember when we used to distribute Bhagavad Gita to people who had never heard of Krishna. Practically speaking, it was a good suggestion. Start with the second chapter. Because the first chapter was a whole bunch of names where Duryodhana is explaining to Drona about his army, and Krishna and Arjuna is seeing all the different commanders and chiefs on the other side, and he's mentioning them to Krishna. And there's a whole bunch of names nobody knows if you're from that category of people. So one of the experiences for most of the devotees in that category is that after some time, by association with devotees, by hearing different pastimes, by associating and learning about the events leading up to the battle, it becomes more and more tasty to read that chapter, understanding who each one of those people are and what are their events that led them and brought them to be in that battle. So, similarly, in the Mahabharata, which is the prequel to Bhagavad, or includes Bhagavad Gita, but the prequel to Srimad Bhagavatam, at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, Samapriya and I, and Raghava and Manmohini, twice a week, have been reading the Mahabharata. So, we came across a chapter called Krishna Returns to Dwarka, just recently at the end of the book, which is the same as this, Lord Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. And just as the events and explanations of the different characters are enhanced by hearing Mahabharata and understanding the stories. This chapter of Mahabharata will help enhance the understanding of what the devotees in Hastinapur were feeling when Krishna was about to leave, which is what's being described in the chapter. So I'm going to read some of this. This is Arjuna and Krishna and their intimacy after the battle. Arjuna and Krishna spent their time going back to the places where they used to walk together in the old days. They went to their beloved Indraprastha and spent several days there. It was pleasant to roam about the gardens in the hall of the great Sabha. They talked of all the many things which had happened since they last walked there. It looked as though not many days had passed since they were there last. Actually, it was 15 years back that the two friends were there together. 15 years back, the forest of the name Khandava was burnt by Agni. Maya was saved from the fire and offered to do them a favor. Krishna had suggested the building of the great Maha Sabha, Maya Sabha. Then came Narada and his talk about the Rajasuya. Looking back in retrospect, they tried to pick out the important incidences, the several scenes which made up this tragic drama. Draupadi's appearance on the stage was the first act. The meeting between Krishna and the Pandavas was the second act. Narada's coming was the third act. The mind of Yudhisthira was upset by the fact that his father was not in the Sabha of Indra because he had not performed the Rajasuya. That was the beginning of all this pain. What had happened was that when Yudhisthira was the king, the sages came to him, Narada actually came to him and explained to him that Pandu had not reached heaven because he hadn't performed proper sacrifices. So therefore he suggested that Yudhisthira perform that sacrifice for the benefit of his forefathers, his father Pandu. The killing of Shishupal was the next act. It was the fourth act in this tragic drama. Others followed in quick succession. The game of dice with Shakuni in the leading role was the fifth act, and the court scene was the sequel to it. It was the beginning of the end. The court scene where Draupadi was dragged to the court was the climax. The drama had reached the pinnacle of intensity when they all took their oaths. The rest was a catastrophe. The later acts were laden with retribution. The scene in Dwarka by Duryodhana and Arjuna, when they went to ask for the help of Krishna, was the sixth act. It decided the fates of all of them, the moment when Arjuna chose Krishna as his charioteer. The war itself was the final act, the seventh. The 18 days of the war, the death of the great Bhishma, Drona, Radheya, and Abhimanyu were just scenes in that mighty seventh act. With the death of Shakuni, the drama was over. The tragic drama was ended. The death of Duryodhana was the final denouncement. The drama covered a period of several years. They had reached the stage when they could look back on it. They had traveled some distances of time, and they could look back and review the years without emotion. Memory did wince when she took up some moments in her hands, but they were now secure from the gnawing pain that was in their hearts a few months back. Krishna said, "Arjuna, the war is over. Your enemies have been killed. Yudhisthira is the monarch of the Kuru kingdom. I had taken upon my shoulders this burden. My task is now over. My thoughts are turned toward Dwarka. I now desire to see my parents and friends. I dare not ask your brother for permission to go. You must first permit me to go, Arjuna. Then you can tell Yudhisthira about my wish to go home. If he is willing to let me go, then I'd like to leave for Dwarka. If, however, he wishes me to stay on, I will. Yudhisthira's wishes mean more to me than my own. You're all able to help your brother rule the kingdom. He has Vidura to counsel him, My purpose has been served. I think it is time to go back home. Arjuna, please grant me permission. Arjuna shed tears of sorrow at the words of Krishna. So their great partnership was at an end. The inseparable Partha and Sarathi were to be parted. His heart was aching for the days of that long ago to come back. Even if it meant reliving the war, he did not mind. He wanted to recapture the thrill of those days when they would set out onto the battlefield blowing their conches lustily. The 18 days of war were the most thrilling days of his entire lifetime. He and Krishna could not be parted, even for a moment. They were always together. And now he heard Krishna saying, "My purpose was served." Arjuna remembered the day when his chariot was burnt. At the end of the battle, if you go way back to the burning of the Kandava forest, what happened was that Agni was very hungry. He wanted to eat that forest, but Indra kept pouring water and rains onto that forest to protect his devotees in the forest. And therefore, Agni approached Arjuna and requested him to help to fight and defend the forest from the rains so that he could eat the forest. And he did so. And in appreciation for that, Agni appeared before Arjuna and Krishna and gave him the chariot with the horses and the unlimited quivers of arrows, which would later become his main instrument and weapons in the battle. After the battle was over and everyone had died, Agni came again and said, "Now your chariot has served its purpose. The quivers have served their purposes. The time has come for me to take this chariot back." And Krishna said, "Wait, Arjuna, you get down first." And Arjuna got down off the chariot. Krishna was still on it. Then Krishna stepped off the chariot, and at that moment, it burst into flames and became ash. So Arjuna's remembering that. Once that purpose was served, Krishna had said that everything in the world was created for a purpose. Once that purpose was served, the world had no more need of it. But it was not so with Krishna. He was needed. Arjuna would be lost without him. He could not say that his work was done, that his purpose was over, the purpose for which he had been born. Arjuna wept tears of anguish and said, "My Lord, your purpose served? Please do not say that once more. I cannot bear it." Krishna chuckled and said, "I did not mean to hurt you, Arjuna. I meant the war when I said that. I know that you need me. More than that, I need you. I cannot live without you. Have you not realized that you and I are part of each other? Half my soul is Arjuna." Krishna told him about the night before, the death of Jayadrath. He told them about his conversation with Daruka and his deciding to fight if it came to the worst. Arjuna was touched by the words of Krishna. They sat in silence for a while. They were so fond of each other. It was not necessary to talk about it. They wandered into the mind of each other. After a long time, Arjuna agreed to follow Krishna, allowed Krishna to go back to Dwarka on the condition that he would come back to Hastinapur very soon. Krishna smiled and said, "Of course, I cannot stay away from you for long. I will come back soon." They returned to Hastinapur. These few days at Indraprastha were very happy days. Arjuna was happy they had gone to their old haunts. They went back to the presence of Dhritarashtra and Yudhisthira. The night was spent happily. In the morning, Arjuna and Krishna went to the chambers of Yudhisthira. They spent some time together, and Arjuna gently spoke about Krishna's desire to return to Dwarka. The very mention of it brought tears to the eyes of Yudhisthira. He composed himself and said, "Krishna, it is but right that you should wish to see your parents. I do not want to prevent you from going. But Krishna, how can we live without you? You are part of me. I cannot think of letting you go. But I must let you go. I will send you on one condition. As in the days of old, when we were at Indraprastha, you must come to me whenever I think of you. When I wanted you, you would always come to know it and come to us. It must be so even now. Go. Go and see your father and your dear mother. They have not seen you for a long time. So much has happened since they last saw you last. He embraced Krishna and gave him permission to go back to Dwarka. Now we come to the point where we are in this chapter. Krishna's chariot, driven by Daruka, was at the doorway of the palace. The leave-taking was very tender. Satyaki was sobbing with emotions when he took leave of the Pandavas. They had gone through so much together. Bhima was standing there stupefied. He would be so lonely after the departure of Krishna and Satyaki, his friend. Krishna took leave of all of them. He prostrated before Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti, Yudhisthira, and Bhima, and they blessed him. Draupadi bade him farewell. The chariot was waiting. With great unwillingness, Krishna ascended the chariot, followed by Satyaki. They all stood there, watching the chariot until it disappeared from their sight. Wiping their eyes, they went into the palace. So, let us go into the different people here and try to appreciate their individual feelings of separation. The verse again. At that time, Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Yuyutsu, Kripacharya, Nakula, Sahadev, Bhimasena, Donya, and Satyavati all nearly fainted because it was impossible for them to bear separation from Lord Krishna. Subhadra. Anybody know whose parents Subhadra are? Who are the parents of Subhadra? Where was she born? How did she appear? Vasudeva and Devaki's one statement. Anybody else? And where did she appear?
In Mathura.
In Mathura. Huh?
Mother is not Devaki.
No, mother is not Devaki. Mother is Rohini. Vasudeva and Rohini. And yes, she appeared in Mathura.
What is the reference?
Puranas. Some people say Devaki, some people say Rohini.
No, this is the topic. It's Prabhupada book, Devaki.
Yeah? Prabhupada book says? You find it.
But
let me know.
Rohini, you have to give me reference, otherwise there will be fighting online.
Okay. No, it's always there. The two are there. It's not easy to find, actually. The actual Puranic reference. But consider her situation. In either case, she was living in Dwarka, a young girl, marriageable age, and her elder brother Balaram had arranged her marriage with?
Duryodhana.
Oh, Duryodhana. But then, Arjuna, having heard about her, wanted to marry her, so he took the guise of a sannyasi, a yati, and came to Dwarka, and Krishna arranged that he would kidnap her. So then he brought her back to Hastinapur. So whenever a woman leaves her father's household and goes to the new home, there's trepidation, there's new relationships that develop. And she was there in Hastinapur and became pregnant and had Abhimanyu. And as the boy grew, obviously her love for him was overwhelmingly vatsalya bhav for him, loving him. And Arjuna taught him various war tactics and weaponry. So he was expert. But then the pastime during the Battle of Kurukshetra happened, where Arjuna had been taken off to one section of the field by the Trigartas, and he was fighting with them. And Drona had arranged the phalanx of the Kuru army into a particular chakra that was very difficult to enter, and they were starting to slaughter the Pandava army. And it was important to break that chakra. And Abhimanyu was the only one who knew how to do it. But Arjuna, and Arjuna knew how to do it, but Arjuna was elsewhere. That was the strategy of the Kurus. So Yudhisthira, although Abhimanyu was only 16 years old, Yudhisthira, as the emperor and king of the Kurus, on, of the Pandava side, spoke with Abhimanyu and asked him, can you break this chakra? Can you break this vyuha and get into it? And we'll be right behind you and we can follow. And he said, I do know how to break into it, but my father has never taught me how to come out of it. So you have to be right behind me, otherwise I'll get lost in that chakra as it moves around and I'll be all by myself. And this is indeed what happened. The Kurus, and under the strategist Drona, their Yuha was so expert. And what had happened was that Jayadrath, another king, had been attracted in previous years before. He had been very attracted one time when the Pandavas were in exile and had been kicked out of the kingdom because of the dice game. Jayadrath saw Draupadi alone one day when the Pandavas were out near their ashram. He became attracted to her and he actually kidnapped her, brought her onto the chariot. And then the Pandavas came back and they defeated him and took her back, humiliated him. So he went and he performed great austerities to Lord Shiva. So much so that Lord Shiva was actually pleased with his austerities and came to him and said, what is it that you want? What is your desire? Why are you doing these penances? And he said, I want to defeat the Pandavas. And he said, no, that's not possible. He said, but I've performed so much austerity, so many difficulties. He said, okay, you'll be able to defeat them once. So, when Abhimanyu went into the Vyuha, Jayadrath was again a king with an army of elephants. And as soon as Abhimanyu entered the Vyuha, Jayadrath came with his elephants and blocked off the Vyuha so that the Pandavas and their army right behind him couldn't enter. And Abhimanyu went off into the battlefield all alone there. And there was a horrible... At this time, I think it was like the 10th day, maybe something like that. The mode of passion had become so increased. The rules of fighting had been degraded to the point where everybody was so angry with one another. And their following true Kshatriya spirit had been lost. And 8 Maharathis. A Maharathi is one who can fight hundreds and thousands of people at once. And generally, in proper warfare, a warrior would fight one who was equal to him, or a group of people would fight with one Maharathi. But 8 Maharathis ganged up on Abhimanyu and slaughtered him. Huh? 16 years old. So now jump forward a few days, maybe a month. And Subhadra is watching her brother, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leave. Her son's been killed. Everybody's been killed. 640 million people were dead. There was animosity, there was sadness, there was so much difficulty. And her solace from her childhood, her brother, was leaving. So naturally she's feeling, from her point, great sorrow. Draupadi. Oh, God, every one of these people is tragic. Draupadi, wife of the 5 Pandava brothers, sons of gods, herself appeared from the fire. She wasn't born from a womb. In their youth, Draupada, King Draupada, and Drona were friends in Gurukula. And during that time, Draupada had told Drona, Draupada was a kshatriya, he was a king, he was a prince, and Drona was a Brahmin. So Draupada had told Drona, his friend, when I become king, you can share it with me. We'll have a great time together. But as does happen in the Lord's pastimes and in life, that did not come to pass. their paths went differently. Draupadi became king, and Drona became a poor Brahmin. So Drona came, and insulted Draupadi. Actually, he was insulted by Draupadi. Then he went to Hastinapur and became the Pandava boys' teacher, taught them, and then once they had become proficient at war, he had them as Guru Dakshin go and attack and capture Draupadi. So Draupadi had been humiliated by Drona's disciples. He performed a great sacrifice to have a son who could kill Drona. And in the fire, while they were performing the yajna, his Brahmins were so expert at chanting those mantras with that specific desire that a person manifested, Drishtadyumna, came out of the fire, fire-born Drishtadyumna. And then a woman appeared from that same fire. That was Draupadi. And when she appeared, there was a voice from the sky that said, this woman will be the cause of the death of all the Kshatriyas on earth. So much difficulty. Her sons, now let's go jump forward. Her sons had been killed, beheaded by Aswatthama just days before this event that we're discussing, just as Subhadra's son, Abhimanyu, had been killed. The five sons of the Pandavas had been killed by Aswatthama, who wanted to end the line of the Pandavas for the pleasure of Duryodhana, who was not pleased by that. But in any case, Draupadi's sons had been killed. Oh, so much, so many years of turmoil, roller coaster ride of life. And now Krishna's leaving. Oh, how can you leave us? So that's Draupadi. Kunti. Oh, Kunti, another wonderful character. When she was young, in the house of her father, Durvasa Muni, as we know, is easily pleased and easily angered, just like Lord Shiva. So Durvasa Muni came to the palace of the king, and Kunti, as the young girl at the palace, pleased him very nicely, and his disciples, feeding prasadam, taking care of them, making sure they had their necessities. So he blessed her. My dear daughter, my dear girl, I'm going to give you one mantra by which you can call any demigod. So she gave him the mantra, she gave her the mantra. And one day, of course, she tried it out. As the sun rose, she was looking out at the beautiful Ganges River flowing by her palace door, seeing the sunrise, and she thought, oh, I'll try this mantra on the sun god. Why not? So she started chanting it, and all of a sudden, the sun god appeared and explained to her that she didn't really understand what that mantra meant fully. It meant that whoever she called would impregnate her with a child. And she was devastated. She was a maiden. She was unmarried. She couldn't have a child. But he assured her that she would not lose her virginity, that the child would be born, and that she would still attain her maidenhood. So Karna was born. And she was feeling so distraught. In those days, a girl not married, having a child was not, she would be ostracized. So she took the baby and put it in a basket, and put the basket into the river Ganges, which was flowing nearby. And the basket floated away and was picked up by Atirata and Radha to a charioteer driver in Hastinapur or in a nearby village. And the boy was brought up. Years later, when the Pandava boys had been taught by Drona and become proficient in weaponry, he decided to have a tournament where they could all show off their talents. So they were all shooting arrows and astras and throwing javelins and doing all kinds of things. And this one person came who was not part of the group that had been trained by Drona, but he had been trained by Bhargava, and that was Karna, Radheya. And when he came, imagine Mother Kunti sitting in the stands watching her boys show off their talents, and all of a sudden this other person came who was extremely princely in his character and nature. She immediately, her heart broke, she fainted. And Vidura came and helped her. So her whole life, she held that secret in her heart. And then finally, fast forward to the time when the Pandavas were performing the funeral rites for everyone who had died. They were all there at the funeral pyres, offering pinda, offering different sacrifices for the benefit of the departed. And Kunti put her hand onto Yudhisthira's shoulder and said, "My son, there's one more." He said, "What? There couldn't be one more. I know every single person that died on my behalf." And she said, "No. Radheya, Karna, your older brother." Oh my God. His heart dropped. They're all there. They had killed him, their older brother. They were shocked. She had days before met with Karna, and Krishna had explained to him who he was. His whole life also, he didn't know. He had the feelings, but he didn't really know where he had come from, who he was. So now, after all her prayers, after Krishna agreeing to stay longer due to the requests of Yudhisthira, just a chapter before, prayers by Queen Kunti and then Bhishma Dev, we just read those pastimes. Now, the time has come when he's not going to stay. He's going to leave and go back to Dwarka. And her heart, remember what she said. What was that one about the Ganges? As the Ganges forever flows to the sea, let my affection flow towards you without being deviated toward anyone else. She had given up all kinds of attachments and simply took shelter of Krishna, not attached to her children anymore. But he's leaving. There's no more shelter, no more Krishna. Uttara was Abhimanyu's wife, and she's pregnant with Parikshit. And Ashwatthama, after beheading the children of Draupadi and the Pandavas, wanted to end the line of the Pandavas, so there would be no more kings in the Kuru dynasty. They've killed everybody, I'll kill them. And his father, Ashwatthama's father, was Drona. And he had taught Ashwatthama how to throw the Brahmastra weapon, the most powerful weapon in weaponry. It's a nuclear weapon. But he didn't teach him how to retract it, just as Arjuna had taught Abhimanyu how to enter the Vyuha, but not how to get out. So Ashwatthama threw the Brahmastra weapon, which is a very fine tune, Prabhupada explains in his purports regarding these weapons, that it didn't kill everybody like the nuclear weapons today. Millions of people died because of the fallout. No, it could be very, very pinpoint accuracy. She threw it at the child in the womb of Uttara to kill him. But Krishna, because Uttara had come and prayed to him, imagine the relationship between this woman and Krishna. She's pregnant, she's a young girl, she's carrying the last line of the Pandus, and she comes and says, "Oh my Krishna, please save me. The child within my womb, Ashwatthama, I can feel the burning in my womb." And Krishna entered her womb and saved the baby. He entered her womb. He was right there. And Birkett saw this person, save him and dissolve the Brahmastra. And he was so attracted to that person that when he actually was born, he always came out and was looking for him everywhere again. Where is that person? And therefore he's called Parikshit, the examiner, because he was always looking for Krishna. But Uttara, she's now been saved, the baby has been saved. But Krishna, the one who saved her, is leaving. So her sorrow is like, oh my, my shelter, the person who saved my baby. Her husband's dead. There's no one to give her shelter. The grandfathers will be there for the baby and her, but that's her situation. Gandhari comes from Kandahar, Afghanistan, and she was married to Dhritarashtra. Of course, he was blind, and out of her dedication and chasteness to him, very religious woman, she decided to put the cloth on her face, on her eyes, to also follow her husband's footsteps. So her whole life, she's been, after they were married, she's been blind. Her children, what a tragic character, personality. Her sons were just a little bit younger than Yudhisthira, so therefore they weren't the rightful heirs to the kingdom. When she was pregnant, Kunti was pregnant, when Kunti gave birth, when Gandhari heard she had given birth, she pelted and banged her abdomen with the baby inside. She was so distraught that my child wasn't the first one born. And she gave birth to a big lump of flesh. And the sages came and explained to her that she should take that flesh and separate it into 100 different parts, put each part into a pot with ghee, and by their mystic powers and potencies, they would make it so that each pot became a child, and indeed that happened. Now, in between the first two, Duryodhana and Dushasana, because Gandhari, she was actually pregnant for 2 years. She didn't have a normal pregnancy. Another Yogamaya pastime. So because her pregnancy was taking so long, Dhritarashtra impregnated one of his Vaishya wives named Sugata. And in between Duryodhana and Dushasan, the first two borns, there was another baby born of Sugata, the Vaishya wife, and that's another personality in this list, Yuyutsu. So Yuyutsu was one of the brothers, one of the sons of Dhritarashtra, but he wasn't one of the 100 ones from the pot. At the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, when all the kings were lined up and everything, Yudhisthira, as Arjuna had the chariot brought between the different armies, Yudhisthira got down off his chariot and he walked over to the Kurus and took permission to fight with his elders, Bhishma, Drona, his teachers. And he also made the proclamation that if any of you want to come over and fight on our side of righteousness, you're welcome to come. Yuyutsu got down and brought his chariot over and decided to fight with the Pandavas. Yuyutsu was also going to be, at this point in our story, when Krishna's leaving for Dwarka after the battle, Yuyutsu was still living. Parikshit was very young. Yudhisthira was the emperor, but Yudhisthira was so close with Yuyutsu that when the Pandavas retire timely, which is the next chapter, and leave, or a couple chapters later, then Yuyutsu was put in charge while Parikshit was being fine-tuned and coming to be the king that he became. So these are some of the different people. There's more. Don't have time to go through them all. But we can see how each one of them, due to time, place, circumstance, the sojourn of time, has brought them to this relationship with Krishna, and they're all feeling intense separation and sorrow from him as he's about to leave. The verse again, at that time, Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Yuyutsu, Kripacharya, Nakula, Sahadev, Bhimasena, Domya, and Satyavati all nearly fainted because it was impossible for them to bear a separation from Lord Sri Krishna. Any questions or comments?
I guess
found out. Each year thereafter, due course of time, Devaki, the mother of God. There you go. Okie dokie. That's a verse from the 10th canto describing how Subhadra was born of Devaki after Krishna. This is just a description of her. It's actually a verse before he was born, but it's describing events that will take place later. So this is one reference where Subhadra is the daughter of Vasudev and Devaki.
Mother Nanda is asking, did Maharaj Parikshit ever see Krishna after he was born? Or had Krishna already left the planet?
Krishna had already left the planet. If you remember, what happened was that the Arjuna was in Dwarka, and Yudhisthira was seeing all these ill omens, and then Arjuna came back and explained that Krishna had left, so he never saw him.
Still looking,
yes, just like us. Nice.
Great class, thank you so much. So, Krishna went back to Dwarka after the battle, and how long did he remain in Dwarka before he left?
How long did he remain what?
In Dwarka before he left the
material. Oh, it was several years. It was a long time. Yudhisthira reigned for 36 years, I think it was, 36 years. So, although it might not be narrated, it can be assumed that they again traveled back and forth to each other and saw each other at different times in the 30 years that was subsequent.
That's that long, huh? Thank you.
Jai. Madamati.
I just find it interesting that Gandhari's name is there in the sense that, you know, she cursed Krishna, she was upset with Krishna, the fact that, you know, she said that if it wasn't, you could have stopped the war, or, you know, and like that. So, yeah, I just find it, yeah.
Yes, Gandhari is a unique personality. She was extremely dedicated to her husband, but she was also a great ascetic and chaste woman, and extremely pious, and understood Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But she wanted to do her dharma in life at the same time. It's described in the Mahabharata that the Pandavas, after killing her 100 sons, were extremely hesitant to go before her. How could they do that? It killed her 100 sons. She was motherly to them their whole lives, and they knew her power. And it was said that when Yudhisthira came before her, she saw in the bottom of her cloth, she could see the tips of his toes, and that they turned blue because of her feelings in Krishna, and they all knew it. So Krishna went to her prior to their going. They had asked her, you go and, you know, talk to her, because we can't go before her. So Krishna went to Gandhari and explained that Yudhisthira was also doing his dharma. He placated her in a very beautiful way, how she could relate with him doing his dharma the way she did her dharma to be with Dhritarashtra. So it wasn't personal. It kind of like lessened that acrimony and anger that she had, because she came to understand. And then after doing that, melting her a little bit that way, he turned up the heat and explained to her that you've been a mother to them their entire lives. You can't give up that dharma either. That's part of your duty. So Gandhari, you remember that time when prior to the battle, she wanted to help protect her son. And she knew how powerful she'd become because of her austerities of being blind her whole life. So she told Duryodhana that you come to my tent completely naked. So Duryodhana was outside and he was coming into her tent, and Krishna was there.
And Krishna saw him walking into his mother's tent naked, and he said, Duryodhana, what are you doing? You can't go before your mother like this. You can't go naked. And he said, but Mata told me to. He said, no one, that's not what she meant. At least wear gumsha. So he put on a gumsha, and when he walked into the tent, Gandhari had removed her blindfold, and she looked at him, and his whole body glowed and became like stone, except for his thighs, because he had on the gumsha. And she looked and she said, what have you done, my son? Why have you done this? Why have you not come naked like I told you? And he said, well, I saw Krishna outside of the tent, and he explained to me I should wear a gumsha. And she, just like Draupadi, she threw up her arms and said, Krishna, okay, what can be done? So she knew all these different things, but that's a little bit of history about how her heart melted and why she's here. Also feeling separation. She, you know, her days were numbered, and she's elderly, and she's lost everything, and she knew he was God. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, Pran Govinda Prabhu. Oh, I can answer one like that. There are some nice pastimes of conversations between Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra and their relationships, but they are a bit obscure and hidden, especially in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj was brought up in a village in Orissa as a Jagannath Bhakta and a Gaur Bhakta. And he's written a wonderful book called The Embankment of Separation, wherein there are beautiful descriptions of the relationship between Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra, who are also Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra, the deities in Jagannath Puri. So highly recommend reading that book if you want to find some nice conversations between them.
You have to read this.
Okay.
And there's a few more chats.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. I have also wondered about Subhadra. When she was born, where did she grow up? Swaha. She was born in Mathura, brought up in Mathura, but it's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that because of the advances of Kalyavana and different kings attacking Mathura, that Krishna wanted to arrange a fort in Dwarka. So Vishwakarma arranged for the fort in Dwarka, and the citizens of Mathura, one night they took rest, and the next morning they woke up, they were all in their residences in Dwarka. Each one had a new palace, a new house, a new home. So Subhadra obviously one of those, and therefore she was a young girl being brought up in Dwarka until Arjuna came. For example, when Krishna and Balaram, next. Krishna, after hearing the Samapriya, gotta take care of this one. After hearing the plight of the exalted Pandavas, how can we prevent weakness from entering our hearts and lamenting for our material situations? We'll have to discuss that one at home. After hearing the plight of the exalted Pandavas, how can we prevent weakness from entering our hearts and lamenting our material situations? That's an interesting question. I guess we could delve into that one. Their material situations were all impetuses for their relationship with Krishna. And we should learn to see our lives as the same. And everything that happens in our life, once you surrender to Krishna, he says, I'll take care of you. I'll be there. So if that's indeed true, then everything that happens, if we're sincere and serious about doing everything for him, then all that happens in that network of life is part of our relationship with him and can be seen as a impetus for developing our deeper relationship with him eternally, not just materially, and the different sufferings we undergo. Tribulations and difficulties are like fuel in the fire of love for Krishna, for a devotee. Look at all these different things they went through. As I just described during this whole class, how could each one of them have such feelings without the life that they had bringing them to that point? And therefore, this feeling of love at this time of Krishna's departure, although on one hand it's very difficult, on another, from a pure devotee's point of view, according to Shastra, it's ecstasy. Nanda. So, if Krishna was in Dwarka for 36 years, Prakrit would have been able to see him? No? I don't get the timeline. Prakrit's birth and Krishna's leaving. Neither do I.
I have a question. Just to, otherwise it will be bothering me for a couple of hours. Dhritarashtra, according to Bhagavatam, he expressed his separation feeling from the Lord.
Yes.
So obviously he has some love. So I'm putting a metaphor, like if I love Prabhupada and I don't like some of his followers, is that really love to Prabhupada?
Interesting.
Because he squeezed Bhima and crashed him.
Yes.
And that's very favorite also. So what I want to understand, can you?
Dhritarashtra's love for, affection for Krishna. He's there, he's also feeling separation. The silver lining in Dhritarashtra's life was his brother Vidura. His brother Vidura was always his counselor, and he was a devotee of Krishna. He was Dharmaraj, he was Yamaraj, advented due to a curse of Manduka Muni. So he was a righteous, extremely well versed. What they even have Vidura Niti in the Mahabharata, his instructions to his brother. So his whole life he was hearing and associating nicely, but he was so attached to his children. And to Dhritarashtra was born blind, but he was the firstborn son. So by rights, he should have been king, emperor of the world. But because he was blind, he was not given that right. His younger brother Pandu was. So that in itself creates in one's heart a hardness. And that hardness, when it manifested in his child, Duryodhana, he could vicariously live through that experience. Now he will be emperor. My son will be emperor. And that attachment, that flow, that bhav was constantly nurtured by him and given fuel. So, but at the same time, it's like a person, it's like a neophyte, a person who has strong material attachments, but is a devotee and wants to serve Krishna. You can see it. We have so many people. You can see it in their face even sometimes, that they're so distraught that they have material desires and they've succumbed to them, they fight with them, it burns them, but at the same time they want to be a devotee, they want to be a pure devotee, and we have this like archetype idea of what the pure devotee is, and they can't reach it because of their material desires, and it's constant confusion. So I think Dhritarashtra was like that. That was his circumstance. Strong material attachment, good association of his brother and understanding of the higher ideals, but just not able to come up to the mark. And then it's described in the descriptions, which will come up later when he leaves his body, that due to his offenses against the Pandavas, he couldn't attain love of God. That doesn't happen. You can't be offensive to the devotees of the Lord and attain love of God at the same time. That's the bottom answer to your question.
I mean, it's something we can relate in our life. He could have taken shelter of Vidura,
Yes.
As a pure, but he didn't.
Yes.
So that's also due to the offense problem.
Ah, yes, nice. It's very important for me to know. For example, when Krishna and Balaram went to Mathura to kill Kamsa, we never hear of her meeting her brothers for the first time, because she must have been, it must have been an historic meeting. No. Subhadra wasn't born yet, from my understanding. Krishna was 11 years old. Vasudeva and Devaki were still living in Mathura. They'd been there in the prison house of Kamsa. But from my understanding, Subhadra had not been conceived yet. She was born later, after they came and started to live in Mathura. So in this way, that's why there isn't a historic meeting between the family members. When after Krishna had killed Kamsa, you remember he went and he released Vasudeva and Devaki from their chains and shackles and offered his obeisances for not being there for them. And there's no description that they had a daughter. So that would have been there had she been born. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Balaram went to Mathura.